Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
We're the kind of church that still believes that God has the power to transform people's lives. That's who we are. I still believe God has the power to heal, that He has the power to save and deliver and to set people free. That's the kind of church that this is. That's the people that we are. And that's exciting news because you're into that place. I know it's exciting news for me and mine. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, let me just begin here because I want you to understand, as I said earlier, Easter's not about celebrating something and singing songs. It's about experiencing that power. In Romans 8:11, the scripture says this, "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you," the spirit that raised Jesus is living in you, "he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life." Look at that. "He will give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you." Now, to some people in the room, maybe that sounds like just a lot of spiritual jargon and theological mumbo-jumbo, but can I just say this? Here's how you can apply that to your life. If there is anything that is dead or dying in your life, maybe it's a dream, maybe it's hope, maybe it's marriage, maybe it's your family, maybe it's your career, maybe it's even your health. If there's anything in your life that just seems to be dying or it's already dead, then I want you to listen to me this morning. You don't have to just celebrate Easter. You can experience Easter. You can experience that life that resurrects those dead dreams and those dead hopes and brings strength and healing back into a sick body. You can find new life in your marriage. You can find new life in your family, in your relationships. That life, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the Bible says, lives in you. And he can bring new life to everything that you are a part of. Everything. It reaches everywhere. But here's the thing. As great as that sounds, I'm here not to talk about that this morning. I'm here to talk about something even better. As great as all of that sounds, in the now, in this life on earth, as great as that is, thank God for a new hope. Thank God for a new lease on life. Thank God for freedom from that depression. Thank God for all of those things. I'm here this morning to remind you of something even better than that. You say, what's better than changed lives? What's better than marriages restored or cancer being healed? Let me just read it to you in Luke chapter 10, if you want to flip over there. Thanks, Leslie. Luke chapter 10, I'm going to begin reading in verse 17, and I'm going to just kind of make this a launch pad because, as you know, we've been talking about being undefeated. In Luke chapter 10, let me just set the context. Jesus has become so popular that it took more than just the 12 disciples to get the word out. There was so many people that needed prayer. Jesus sent out, the Bible says 72, as we're going to read here in Luke chapter 10, and he sends them out so they can minister and pray for people. And here's what he says in verse 17. He says, "The 72 returned with joy and the Lord and said, 'Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name.'" Lord, we have authority over everything on this. I mean, the demons even submit because of your name. And Jesus kind of, I love how Jesus replies here. He says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." He's like, "Oh, you see demons submitting to your name, to my name right here, what you've done? Well, guess what? I was there when Satan was cast out of heaven." So Jesus kind of says, one up that story, all right? "I was there. I saw Satan fall like heaven." And then he said, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions," and notice this, "and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you." I have given you that authority because I'm undefeated. I've won. I'm over everything. Nothing is going to overcome you because of me, and I am giving that authority to you. And then in verse 20, he redirects everything. He says, however, don't rejoice that the Spirit submit to you. But look at this. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Yes, we believe that the resurrection has come to restore our lives right now, to give us strength, to help us in our marriages, to give us new life in our hopes and in our dreams and in our futures. And those are all great, but that, Jesus says, is not the greatest. We know Jesus has overcome cancer, He's overcome pain, He's overcome abuse and dominion and powers. And as Jesus made it clear, there is something even better than just these things. He said, I want you to know that you shouldn't be afraid, as he says in Matthew chapter 10, of the one who can destroy this body and who can really mess up life in the here and now. But be more fearful of the one who can cast your soul into hell. Be more scared of that. Be more concerned about eternity than just about the temporal things of life. Be more concerned about what's on the other side than just what's on this side. And here's the thing. Why would Jesus say that? It's because Jesus had seen eternity. Jesus knows the location of heaven and hell. He sees those places. He understands your life. And He knows that we, you and I, everybody in this room, we're just a blip on the screen. The Bible even describes our life like a vapor, like just a flash that's here today and gone tomorrow. And Jesus says, I want you to rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice, your names are written in heaven. When things are going great, consider eternity. When things are really going well, consider what else I have given you because I rose again. One time the disciples came to Jesus and they were discouraged. They were upset. They didn't know what to do. The Bible says that they were really under a whole lot of stress. The Bible makes it very clear that there was a lot of pressure. They were upset. In John chapter 14, verse 1, it says, Jesus responded to their distress. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Now, you would think that Jesus would follow that encouraging statement if someone who is really having a hard time in life, that He would say, hey, look, don't let your heart be upset. Don't be troubled. Don't be stressed out. Trust in God. Trust up in me. You would think that Jesus would follow that statement right there, that encouraging word, with something like, so let me just come over and pray for you, and things are going to get better here. Or, hey, why don't we just go have a cup of coffee and we'll talk this out. Why don't we just spend some time together and get your mind off of all the things that's going on in your life. Why don't we just kind of, let me just kind of, pull you up by your bootstraps and let's get this thing going again. But that's not how Jesus followed that up in their discouragement. He followed it up in verse 2. He said, because in my Father's house are many rooms. And if it were not so, I would have told you, because I'm going to prepare a place for you. The disciples come to Jesus with all of their earthly problems, and Jesus starts talking about a heavenly solution. We're so much like that. We show up to the doorstep of God and we say, Lord, here are all of my earthly problems. And what does Jesus always respond with? There is a heavenly solution to all of your earthly problems. So don't get discouraged. I want you to remember that you're not going to be here forever. That this is not going to last forever. That you have another home, another place that I have prepared for you. And that you, my friend, one of these days are going to be out of here. Here's a statement that I have on the screen. I want you to notice something. Here's a statement I want you to really key on. And that is that Jesus offers more than a better now. He offers a better place. Isn't that good? It's more than just a better now. You start Monday tomorrow. But He offers more than just a better now. He offers a better place. And that's why when we come together and we celebrate the resurrection and we celebrate Easter and we talk about Jesus being raised from the dead, that's exactly what we need to be reminded of. It's more than just celebrating and being thankful for the grace that God gives us to walk out our life every day. It's something beyond this life. In John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus says to to the ladies, he says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And he who believes in me will live, even though he dies. Now that's good news. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the death percentage is 100%. Death's pretty good. It's one for one. For everyone. There is nobody, unless you're here when the Lord comes, that will escape this planet except passing through that gateway of death. Everybody in this room knows of somebody. Maybe a family member or a friend. Someone has walked through death and its door. We know those people. They were a part of our life and all of a sudden, now they're gone. Maybe they were here last Easter, but not this Easter. They're separated from us. They have finished their course. They have walked through death's door. But if you know Jesus, my encouragement to you this morning is this. You may feel the sting of death. You may feel the pain of death. You may feel the heaviness of death, but you will not feel the finality of death. And that's why at Easter we celebrate more than just getting excited about all that God's doing in the now. There is another place, because in 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus said, being the undefeated, I want you to understand, verse 26, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. My friends, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, death cannot defeat you. Death cannot overcome you. Death cannot conquer you. You will overcome even death. That elder brother, our Savior, that Redeemer, He has won the victory over death for you. He rose from the grave. There was no life in His body. But as I read earlier, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And if we lay your body into the ground and we sow you as a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, one of these days that body is going to be raised to life because of what Jesus has done on the cross and in the tomb. So I'm here to remind you that you may experience pains, you may experience some problems in this world, but there is a better place. There's a better day. And there's a better reason for you to serve the Lord than just to help you through the temporal nows and the pressures that come and go and the pain and the distress. It's because He has not only overcome and give you victory over all of those things, He's given you victory over death. And one day you will leave all of this behind. You know, generations previous, they had a better grip on this. I think it's because in our day and time, we're very comfortable. We've got almost everything. You know, I mean, life suits us now because it's so, you know, things can become very easy. We have all of these trinkets at our, you know, disposal and stuff. But I remember my grandparents, and in the summer times we would go to my grandparents and they would have what they would call homecoming, and everybody would come from every farm and every ranch around, and they would all collapse on homecoming, and we'd have dinner on the grounds, you know, and that doesn't mean like we ate on the ground. That means we had dinner in the back lot, you know, and we all ate, and they would have what they called a singing. Now, it's not a singing, it was a singing, okay, and everybody just kind of bring their stuff, and I remember going to these singings, and we would have the guitar guys, they'd get up there, and they'd start playing around, and they'd have the piano, you know, the little lady that had her hair real nice, and she did this on the piano, you know, that's kind of what that looked, you remember that? Yeah. And so what was funny is they'd say they'd get ready to have the song, and the songs, all the songs, there was two things. They were all in either one of three keys, G, C, or D, and all of the songs talked about heaven. Oh, isn't that right? All of them. Every song. You know, every song was, you know, when we all get to heaven, you know, it's all, you know, I'll fly away, oh, glory, I'll change keys. Nope, we're the same key, same, you know, same. And they just get after it. They just start singing all together. You know, they, and it's because of their life, you know, they're singing, hey, one of these days, we're going to get out of here. You know, this is going to be great. I'm so glad. I'm excited. They were looking forward to a day, not just a better now, but they were looking forward to a better place. Another place, something that's different, that you don't fight with trying to make sure you can meet all the bills, and you don't have to worry about what the doctor has to say when he comes in, and you don't have to worry about the pressures and all these different things. There's a different place, thank God. You know, it's just a key of G, let's go. You know, I mean, that's how. Don't antagonize him too much, he'll get going. I remember all that. Again, I just remind you again, Jesus offers us more than a better now. He offers us a better place. Jesus died and He rose again so that you could experience the same resurrecting power, not on a temporal basis, not on, man, I feel good today. Man, I feel great about tomorrow, but come Wednesday, man, you get hit right in the face and everything just kind of slow tracks. It's not just about that push and pull. It's about there is a better place to be that you will never have to leave. You will be there for an eternal basis. You'll be in the presence of the Lord, not just on Easter Sunday, but you'll be in the presence of God and you will never have to leave and you'll never want to leave. You'll just always be there. It's going to be great. And that's why I read this last scripture for you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. It says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. Isn't the Bible cool? He doesn't even say those who died. He just says those who've fallen asleep, knowing that if you fall asleep, you're going to wake up. Or to grieve, and this is the important part, to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive and who are left till the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. There is going to be a glorious day of resurrection. We will one day rise off of this planet. Gravity is going to lose its hold, not on those just who have fallen asleep, but on those, Lord, who still stand and walk the earth when Jesus comes back. There is coming a day when your location is going to change. I've been doing a lot of traveling lately, taking my son over all over the different places, and our family had been going around, and we were on an airplane a week or so ago, and I was reminded of a funny story. I was seeing people come and board the plane. I was reminded of a funny story that a pastor friend had told me about and tells. And he said that he was in an airport, and he was just making a very short flight. He was pastor. He was preaching on Sunday, but he had to go do a service that Saturday night, so it's just a real short flight, like a one-hour flight to the other city that he was going to. And he said, so he gets on the plane, and he's hoping that he can just catch a quick nap because he knows he doesn't have a whole lot of time, you know, to do that. You know, it's going to be a real busy weekend. So he gets on the plane, he finds his seat, and he gets next to the window seat because, as I've taught my my son, that is the best seat because you have like a headrest. And he gets in and does the exact same thing. And he gets in there and he's all snuggled up and he puts his head because when you are on an airplane and you're tired, the last thing you want to do is to have one of those long conversations about nothing. Come on, somebody, you know what I'm talking about. So that's where Chris was. He gets on the plane, he lays his head up against the fuselage and he closes his eyes. He's fake sleeping, okay? So because he knows, you know, maybe if somebody's walking by, they won't disturb him. So he said, I'm laying up there, I got my eye half open. My aisle eye is still open and I'm watching to see who's coming down the aisle because you know. Those of you who have been in an airplane, you know what happens at that time. You know, your prayer life really just starts increasing. Because you got one eye open, you're going, oh, Jesus, please, not that guy, not that guy, not that guy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, as they go by. You know, y'all, some of y'all that aren't laughing, you know that's true. You just don't want to let nobody know it. So he said, I've got my head up against that. My eyes are half closed. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, with my eyes closed, he said, all of a sudden, I feel this jolt and my head almost hit the suitcase thing above me. He said, this guy, he's a plopper. He said, he just comes and plops down, you know, instead of, you know, sliding into his seat, he just plops down. And he said, you know, I had already decided I was going to try to get my elbow on the armrest. And he said, I was trying to figure out if I wanted to go frontsies or backsies, you know, because whoever comes in, they're going to shut. He said, this guy just plops down and just sticks his arm right over there. And he said, it hits me right in the ribs. And it's like, hey, oh, what's going on? He just couldn't believe it. Like, I can't believe this guy just did this. So he said, I tried to lay my head back, try to go back to sleep. He said, just as the plane's taking off, he said, this guy does it again. He just puts his elbow right in my ribs. Chris said, I woke up and he's like, what? And the guy goes, so what do you do for a living? And Chris, you know, is like, I'm thinking, you know, I don't really want to have one of these conversations. He said, I thought about just telling him, well, you know, I'm in sales, you know, because, you know, kind of what he said. I said, I better just tell him the truth. He said, well, I'm a pastor. And he said, immediately, this guy just, whoa, just starts bawling, just uncontrollably crying. And Chris is like, oh, boy, it's one of those, you know, so he's like, counseling sessions shall begin right now, you know, so. He goes, hey, buddy, what's wrong? He goes, oh, I just lost my best friend. Just buried him. I'll never see him again. Chris is like, what's your name? Billy. My name's Billy. He's like, well, Billy, he's like, let me just share something with you. Like, you know, I'm a pastor. And he said, I immediately thought of this passage in Thessalonians. He said, so I said, you know, the Bible says, and immediately, Billy said, stop it. I'm Jewish. And Chris said, and I said, well, Jesus was a Jew. And he goes, well, okay, go ahead. You know. And so he says, I was reminded of this passage in Thessalonians. He said, so I said, you know, Billy, if you know Jesus, I said, you don't have to grieve like most men grieve because people who don't know him have no hope. But I said, there is a hope that can be found. And Chris said, as I began to tell this, the whole gospel story, and I just shared the gospel with Billy, he said he was really intent. And I talked to him about the hope, and I talked to him about the cross, I talked about the resurrection of Jesus, and that one day Jesus is going to come back. And he said, as the plane just began to land, he says, a real quick flight, and the plane began to land, he said, I didn't even have a chance to pray with Billy. He said, so we get it together, and I'm like, well, hey, you know, it was great to visit with you. You know, I hope that you just go with the Lord, you know, and I pray the Lord. He said, you know, I didn't have a chance to lead him all the way to the Lord and pray the prayer. He said, I thought, well, maybe, you know, I hit him to third, you know, somebody else come along and hit him all the way in. He said, so we're walking up the jetway. We get out into the terminal, into the aisle, and as we're walking, we're still kind of just making small talk. He stops. He said, well, you can't go anywhere. And Chris is like, well, I've got to, you know, catch my ride. And he's like, well, you haven't told me how to, I want to get the hope, and until I get the hope, you can't leave me. And Chris was like, okay. And he said, Billy knew enough about prayer, about what to do. He said, right there in the middle of the walkway, you know, busy terminal in this big international airport, people coming and going like that, he turns to me and he reaches out and grabs my hand and puts his head down. Just like that. And Chris said, here we are standing in the middle of the aisle and two grown men holding hands looking at each other like this. And he said, people are going, hello, hi, how are you? You know, he said, it was kind of an odd thing, but he said, I thought, you know, why not? So he said, I prayed a prayer with Billy and led him to the Lord right there in the middle of that airport. And he said, as I said amen, Billy let go of my hands and he raised his head and he looked at me and he said, you were right! You were right! Chris said, what? He said, I feel hope. You were right. I have hope. It's real. I didn't think it was. It's real. I believe everything that you said. And Chris said, let me tell you something, my friend. Hope in your life can change everything. Hope changes everything. And that's my word for you. Hope can change everything, my friends. Your temporary troubles are exactly that. They're temporary. But because Jesus died and He rose again, you have the hope for a better day and a better place. For permanence. For eternity. So here's my message in two sentences. If you believe in Jesus, earth is as close to hell as you will ever get, because it only gets better. Well, I wrote that. I thought that was better than what y'all responded. If you believe in Jesus, earth is as close to hell you will ever get, because, my friend, it only gets better from where you're standing. That's good stuff. But the opposite is also true. If you haven't believed on Jesus, then earth is as close to heaven as you will ever get, and it will only get worse. Now, I don't want to be Debbie Downer today. You know, I talk about hell and I tell, you know, hell is not a place where God sends people. Hell is a place where people who choose to pay for their own sin go. That's really what it is. They want to pay for their own sins because sin is laid upon them, and they just say, you know, that's the path I want to choose. But you don't have to. Because you're here this morning, and as I've said all morning, you don't have to just talk about Easter. You don't have to sing about it. You don't have to even hear about it in a message, but you can experience the resurrecting power of Easter. You can experience the hope that Billy experienced that day. You can experience the hope of knowing that one of these days, when Jesus returns, you won't be left behind, but you will be able to change locations. Your zip code will change one of these days. So here's how we're going to conclude this morning. I'm going to ask you to, all of you had something that was laying on the bottom or on your seat as you walked in, as you took a chair. If there's not one, I want everybody to take a hold of that. Don't look at the top yet. I want you to look at the bottom part of that. And I'm just going to just let you take a real short quiz this morning. And my question to you is today, after hearing and seeing and experiencing everything that you have heard and seen today, my question to you is this, is just an A, B, C, or D question. A, I have already put my trust in Jesus. And if that's you, this message and this whole day has just been fantastic for you. You have just celebrated and rejoiced all day long, and you have heard this message saying, praise God, I've already got a place Jesus has prepared for me in heaven. One of these days, all the trials and tribulations and the challenges of life, they're going to fade away, and I'm going to go be with Him forever. That's you. I have already put my trust in Jesus. Second one is B, I'm beginning to put my trust in Jesus today. Maybe this is your day. Grandma invited you to church. Maybe you had to come to church. Maybe you said, let's go try this church out. And you heard something today that has caused you to consider your own life. So you want to begin a relationship with Jesus today. Walk with Him by beginning that relationship. You tell him who you are. It's as simple as this. You accept what he's done. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. And then you accept what you are. I'm a sinner. I'm a guy who has lived in open rebellion of what the Word of God says. I don't think right. I don't talk right. I don't live right. I don't do right. It's because sin lives in me. And today I'm going to begin a relationship because my life needs to change. My course has been off. I want to change course. You want to begin that relationship. See, maybe you're here and I want to consider Jesus a bit more. Maybe this is your first time in church. You've never even really heard that gospel message very much. You're thinking about it. Let me tell you something. In this church, we don't say, polish yourself up, get all set and sanctified, and then come visit us. We say, hey, inquirers are welcome. If you want to learn about the Lord, if you want to learn what He wants of you, consider the cost. Understand what you're doing. Because I think that when we give our heart to Jesus and we know what this requires of us, what it means, that you're much more likely to walk and follow Him. And maybe you're D. And D is, I don't intend to make a decision about Jesus today. That's okay. That's okay. Guess what? Jesus loves you anyway. And I do too. And this church loves you anyway. We won't treat you any different because we know what's happened in our life. Maybe someday you will make that decision. So this morning I'm going to pray. And we're going to ask just to think about that, just consider that for just a moment as we pray and get ready to dismiss. You can fill in the top after we pray, okay? But I want us to ask the Lord just to help us to recognize that He's not just come to give us a better now, but a better place. Because He's undefeated, and we have that hope in our life. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this incredible day that You've given us. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity that we have had, Lord, to hear and to see the gospel on display. Lord, I just pray that You would just fill our hearts, Lord, with Your presence today as we make decisions, Lord, as we look at these questions and we say, Lord, today, Lord, I pray for those who want to begin that relationship with You today, Lord, that You just confirm in their heart, Lord, that it's not just some throwaway decision, Lord, that it's not just punching a card or checking a box, Lord. It's about making a commitment to follow You. It's about having their sins forgiven. It's about repenting and turning and changing their life, Lord, because they desired to follow You and not their own selves anymore. Lord, I thank You, Lord, for those who are checking that box today. For those, Lord, who are already serving You, may You bless them, Lord. May we, Lord, anticipate that day when You call us home, Lord. I pray for those, Lord God, who don't intend to make a decision today, or, Lord, those who are considering. I pray that, Lord, that Your Spirit would draw them back, Lord, and let them, Lord, gain fellowship and find connection, Lord, with believers in this fellowship, that they might be able to make the decision to follow You someday. I honor You and I praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.